Broadcasting by the sea in sunny San Diego, this is the Ascended Masters at Work show, where we lift the veil of mysticism and reveal ancient secrets brought to earth by the world's greatest spiritual teachers. Here we share real-life stories that change lives and widen our eyes. And now, here is your host and spiritual life coach, Reverend Shirlene Reeves.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to our special Thursday call. And, you know, we just love doing these broadcasts. And I want you to know, I have the greatest producers in Dawn and Doug. I mean, they're just phenomenal. And they take such good care of me, and they're so kind. And what I really love about them is if they happen to make a mistake, they overcompensate. And I hope that's what you do with your clients, too, because we all make mistakes, right? Isn't that so? We all make mistakes, and we learn from them every time. And if we can overcompensate, like my producers do of this show, our clients will always love us. So I want to give a shout out to Dawn and Doug at BBS Radio because they are so phenomenal and so easy to work with. So thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Now, what we're going to talk about today is about connecting your business to your purpose. Wonder what that means. And our guest today is really going to explain that. And you know, so many times I have people that come to me and say, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my passion is. I can't figure it out. And you know, I've been doing this business and I love to do it, but I still don't know if it's my passion. Well, let me tell you, obviously, what I do is my passion. I really, really love what I do, teaching others how to sell through their heart and doing it myself as well. But sometimes it's just really hard to tap into that way of thinking. So the question I have for you that I want you to think about during this whole broadcast is, what is it that you love to do when you get out of bed in the morning? Think about that. Now, one of the things I love to do is get up and have my coffee on. I'm on my deck here in Mexico right now while I broadcast to you and do my meditation while I listen to the waves. It's so beautiful here. But you may have other things that you like to do. And what is it you do that really makes you feel good and then makes you excited when it comes to your business? Now, also, as you might guess, I love doing massive visibility because it brings massive income, and I love being a speaker, and I love teaching others how to do it. So you know, especially all of you in my community, you know that that's my passion and my purpose. Now, this gentleman we're going to talk to today, he is a CEO, and he believes in a purpose-driven business. So in other words, he helps people find and align their purpose to their business. And he creates a fulfilling life for them. And it makes it more effective in your use of time. And it helps you to achieve the results that really matter to you. Now, this gentleman is a culinary team building expert. Get that, culinary team building expert. But I know he'll tell you the same thing I will. No matter what business you are in, the team building is always the same. He's a speaker, a prosperity coach. I can't wait to hear about that. And an author of two books and a third soon to be released. His two books are Creating Leaders to Build Teams, Aligning Your Purpose Toward a Winning Work Culture. He has the honor to call organizations like Facebook and Google as some of his clients. So I want you to meet Jim Conley. And he is an amazing man. And he's up in the LA area. And his major accomplishment, I love it. He put down his son, Christopher. How many of you feel like your children are a major accomplishment? Well, I usually do, but sometimes when I'm at odds with him, I don't think so. Another accomplishment was launching his own business as a CEO chef, and also attracting and marrying the love of his life, Dr. Renee Gordon, who we had on the show just a couple weeks ago, and all of you were begging to have her on again, so I'm going to look into that with her. So let's welcome Jim Conley. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Charlene. How are you today?
I couldn't be better. I'm having such a wonderful day, and I'm so delighted. And Jim, I was just wondering, what exactly do you mean by a purpose-driven business? What is that to you?
Great question. And it's when you think of a purpose-driven business, it all starts with your own personal purpose. And sometimes people get confused and they think purpose means something they have to do. And what I really like to explain is purpose, and this the way I explain it, is really about who are you being. And we work from a model, the be do have model, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And most people spend their life spending all their time doing, or having, and forget the most important thing is the being. And what we want to do is help you connect who you're being to your businesses, your position where you work. So when you're doing the things that reflect what you're being, you can have all the things that fulfill your life.
Okay. So when you're speaking to someone who's an employee or someone who's working part-time just so that they can keep their business going, how do you get into a state of being?
Well, first of all, it says when you determine what your purpose is. And I might have a special offer, you know, if everybody's nice, I might have a special offer where it's going to help them determine what that is. In other words, I'm going to give them a copy of my PDF that actually is the action guide to the book that's going to be coming out, Creating Leaders to Build Teams, Aligning Your Purpose Towards a Winning Work Culture. This can apply to entrepreneurs as well as people in large organizations, because everyone, once they find out what their purpose is, it's something you talk about and think about every day of your life. For instance, I have it right now, just over the wall in my office. So I'm always connected to that purpose, because when you miss that purpose and you forget who you are, which is so easy today with all the interruptions we have and all the different media that's thrown our way and social media, we're always confused sometimes of what's important to us and who are we being at any given time. So that being then determines what our actions will be. And to answer your question, someone's maybe working part-time will be connected to the fact that their business that maybe is not quite producing the revenue that they'd like it to produce has to continue connect even more so to who they're being, so they can start making that money to then do what their bliss is in life. And that's why we take it almost step by step to where you discover who you're being in order to create a business that reflects all that.
And that's a really, really good explanation. And you know, I just want to give you an example, Jim. Sometimes our purposes are really big. And my purpose is to build communities of entrepreneurs that work together to uplift each other. And it's a very protected, caring, kind, and loving community. but it takes entrepreneurs away from being on their own. And I think a lot of times entrepreneurs have a terrible time when they're all by themselves, because there's nobody to try their ideas out on, or it's hard to stay focused on their purpose when they're all alone, don't you think?
Well, that's exactly why I wrote this book, because I'm an entrepreneur myself, and there are days when I will section myself off from the rest of the world. And at the end of the day, I'm saying, what did I do that for? Where I find that I'm more effective is when I create a team around me. And mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it has to be a corporate team. Even though I do work a lot with those type of entities, there are a lot of entrepreneurs that I work with that forget that there's lots of people who are on their side that are their virtual team, and they may be joint venture partners, they may be vendors, they may be customers who are your biggest fans. But those teams around you are integral to your growth and to be able to express who you are on a consistent basis.
I agree. And I think that's why I spend so much time on Zoom and Skype and on the phone, making sure everybody's connected and that I'm connected as well, because I really miss them when I'm not able to do that. And I think we can grow so much more and so much faster when we do have that team that we're connected to, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I see this all the time. Entrepreneurs are entrepreneurs because they're so talented. And it's almost a curse when you think about it. It's like, oh, I'll do that. And why do I need to get somebody to do it? Well, one of the first exercises I have my clients go through is I say, okay, list all the things you do in a day. And they list them. And you know as well as I do, when you're an entrepreneur, it says sometimes you go to the second and third page with all the things that you do. Then I have them circle the things that they love to do. What is your bliss? When you do it, it's like it turns you on. It really lightens up your life. And they do that. And then I say, okay, now what I want you to do is put a square around all the things that, you do it, but you don't want to really do it, but you don't mind doing it. It's okay. And then just get a highlighter in red. And I use red intentionally, the things you just totally dislike doing altogether. And that right there is the beginning matrix. And my job is to help them do 80% of their actions every day to do the things that they love, the things that they're in bliss over. And my job is to help them realize how they can either outsource or delegate the things that either they don't like or don't really, you know, really care to do. And it's changed people's lives, because they sometimes think that they're stuck as an entrepreneur doing it all. And when they realize they can grow their business and create a team around them of people who are supportive of them to grow their business, my gosh, they transcend to a whole nother level.
Now, I'm going to ask you to put your prosperity hat, your prosperity coach hat on, I should say. And, you know, this is a question that is frequently asked, and that is, how do I, this is how they approach me, how do I jump into hiring a VA when I'm not making enough money to support myself? I'm in that middle area, and I really need the help so I can do what I love to do and really get out there, but I have to do this because I'm not making enough money yet to do that.
Yeah, and I've heard this so many times, and I'm even challenged with it as well. When you, like I said, you go back, you say, well, I can do this. Let me input that data. Let me go ahead and make those extra calls. How I explain to my clients, I said, okay, what I want you to do is figure out, if you were working a hourly wage, how much would you be worth? And invariably, when I work with professionals, they'll come up between the number of $200 to $500 an hour. And I said, Great. Okay. How much does it cost you to hire a VA? And anybody that has worked with a VA, a virtual assistant, will understand that they'll range between $20, $30 an hour. And it seems like a lot. But if you're able to get those people to do the things that allows you to do the things that in most cases is your bliss, because usually if you're a lawyer, you love doing the work in law. If you're a coach or a consultant, you're doing those jobs that help you do what you love to do. Figure out how many hours that they need to work in order for you to do what you do. So if it's 2 hours of their time, which is say $60 worth of it, but it gives you 2 days worth of work, well, you're talking about a minuscule amount in comparison, and you're doing the things you love. So you're not following up with phone calls to remind them of their meeting or their appointment. They're doing all that for you. And how I like to get them into the mode of doing it is before they think that they have money, because it's a mindset thing, you know that. Mm-hmm. Before they do the mindset, first thing I do is I have them set it up. And I said, I want you to set it up. What would you have someone else do? And they start thinking in that way where they start setting up their business in a way that makes it easier. Instead of just looking for that phone number, you have an up-to-date database that has your phone numbers listed, or you have a CRM set up, a customer relationship management program already set up. And all you need to do is get someone to be an administrator for you on that, but you don't tell them yet. So all you're doing is helping them set up to realize the wasted time on the things that they don't really want to do. Then when they get to the mindset, when they finally accept the mindset of how much more valuable they would be if they spent the time doing what they're meant to do, then it's an easy transition. So they're not using any excuses.
Mm. So you're saying if you can change their mindset that the money situation doesn't matter? I'm trying to figure this out.
Well, the money situation is in their mind, because if they realize first they have it set up so there's no excuse of saying, well, I have to set up my business so that someone could easily just step in and take over this position, I have them start setting it up, and I'm changing the mindset as they're going along. While they're doing that, they're becoming more efficient. And mm-hmm. because of their efficiency, they're making more money. But before they go and blow that money on something they don't need, I have them actually put it aside, and I said, this is the investment into your we actually name them. I know some people out there probably saying, I don't know if that's a good idea. Well, we name them, you know, we have fun names, you know, as we will come up with, this is my Tiffany. It just mm-hmm. so happens my assistant's name is Tiffany. So she's looking over at me and saying, it is Tiffany. And it's like, okay. Yeah. So we name your assistant Tiffany, and you say, okay, I'm going to start paying Tiffany, because now you're more efficient, you're making more money. You put the time aside for Tiffany, the hourly wage aside for Tiffany. Now you build up a little account that's Tiffany's, and all of a sudden you have maybe a couple of days worth of money put aside, or maybe a week's worth of money put aside for Tiffany. Now you have no excuse. Now mm-hmm. you have the money. You've already invested in Tiffany without doing it. You've invested in having better procedures in your work. Now it's like that's money that you didn't have before. And now you start, then you hire somebody. And there are systems out there where you can hire a virtual assistant for an hourly time period. You don't have to invest in somebody as a full-time job. They're all individual contractors. And then mm-hmm. what you do is you just go ahead and say, you know, you have a week's worth. Well, think about if your systems are working right, that investment in your Tiffany is now going to bring you more money. And now mm-hmm. you're in a positive flow.
Right, absolutely right. And that is provided that you bring a highly trained VA on and you don't have to train them. That it becomes kind of cumbersome when you have to train them. So think about that very carefully. And you know, make sure that whoever you are hiring, whoever your Tiffany is, they already know what it is that you need to do, like your social media or whatever it is you choose.
Absolutely.
So Jim, we have Nancy on the line from California. Are you ready to take a question?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Okay. Nancy, are you there? Are you ready to ask Jim your question?
Yeah, sure.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. My question is, can being a purpose-driven business apply to all size organizations, like all the different, like small size, large size, medium size companies?
Yeah, actually, that's a great question, Nancy. Thank you so much. It does truly apply to all sizes. And the reason I can say that is you might recognize the name of this particular business. It's called Facebook. It's just a little company that kind of popped out of Silicon Valley. Well, one of the things I've had the pleasure of working with Facebook for many years, and I haven't had a chance to meet Mark Zuckerberg in person, but from all the people that I've worked with, I know for a fact that this founder of Facebook's purpose and why he even does what he does is because he does want to bring the world together through technology. Now, the reason why they hired me to work with them in their leadership program is because I bring in our culinary team building programs into it. And one of the things that we say is that we bring the world together through food. And it was a perfect match of our philosophy and theirs. And so we've been really good supporters of each other for many, many years. So that's a huge company, and they are the one of the fastest growing large companies that have a heart. And of course, I already gave you an example of when you're working with entrepreneurs, but then you have a lot of small and medium-sized businesses that are run like family run, and they're just as important and vital to our economy. And they have that, and many of them are run purpose-driven because there's a close connection between the founders and the business. There's not a big separation. So definitely it is possible.
Great question.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to move right to Michelle in California also. She's online too. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, welcome to the show. We're glad you called in.
Thank you. So my question is, what is the distinction between a purpose and a vision in a corporation?
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that one a lot.
That's a very good question. And next question, please. No. and you know, it's really interesting. That question actually brings to mind why so many entrepreneurs get burned out and seem to lose track of time, lose track of their business, because they don't start off with understanding that everything emanates from their personal purpose, and that when they create a business, that business should be working for them, as opposed to most of the times we're working for our businesses. So to give you an idea, when you start off with your personal purpose, then when you create a business, the first thing you should create is the vision of the business. And that vision should be something grand, something that is so big that it may not even be complete in your own lifetime. And I know with my wife is a very popular relationship coach. She helps people either find the love of their life or she helps reignite that love within couples. And one of the things that she says in her vision is that she wants to make divorce obsolete in the world and use love as almost like we do money, where it's something that is real, it matters. And when you think about that, go, oh my gosh, I said, we're at a 50% divorce rate. How can that be so? And it's like, it may not be complete in her lifetime, but it's still her vision, and she works every day diligently to help people who are not married to find the love of their life so that they're set up properly, where they're matching their values and their beliefs first, and not if they're cute, not if they have the same hobbies, but the fact that they really connect at a deep level. And that will set up a generation that will not know divorce. So you start with something big and you go from there, but it's not your personal mission, your personal purpose. It is your vision of your entity, your business. And this will allow you to open up more organizations or businesses or be more philanthropic, because you can have visions for each one of those entities and in itself. And your purpose, though, is your purpose forever.
And you know, that's really called a movement also. When you've got something that's just is going to go on way beyond your path, your lifetime, and make many unhappy attorneys, right? I mean, can you imagine if we had no more divorce, how many attorneys would be out of work?
Well, it's interesting is because my wife, Dr. Renee, is actually being approached by a lot of divorce lawyers who they're tired of seeing all these people divorce because they can make money many ways. And they're not proponents of divorce. They're surrounded by sadness, and they're actually hiring Renee to be able to help people reconcile, but understanding that they have the same direction, they just don't see it because of small things that are bothering them, or that they have to end the relationship they have, but to do it in a civil way where they're able to transform into another life and be clear to who they are. So what she does and what we do is not that dissimilar, because we're always helping people find their purpose so then they can be clear that who they are is the most important thing, and everything from that emanates from that place of being.
And with that final thought, I am going to take a break for just a minute, and we will be right back. Hang in there.
Attention, professional authors, coaches, and small business owners. What if you could increase your sales authentically without scripts or the pain of rejection? If you are a realtor, you can make more sales without the fear of being salesy. If you are an entrepreneur, you can eliminate the fear of feeling pushy, get more referrals, and add more money to your bank account with less effort. Welcome to Compel Don't Sell, the Art of Selling with Heart, the next generation in relationship sales, brought to you by Maximize Your Wealth Now.
The reason that I took this course is because I needed to know how to market and sell in a way that doesn't make me feel bad. Compel Don't Sell totally comes from the heart and connects with people in a way that fits my style and how I would like to approach people. And it gave me the benefit of refining what I think and say about my business in a way that's professional, but still very warm and nurturing.
I invested in Sherlene's Compelled to Sell sales training program, and I just knew immediately that she was the person that I wanted to work with.
The reason I took this course is because I felt like there were a lot of new things that Sherlene had to offer that I had not experience before. That's why I took the class, because I wanted to sort of up-level my sales skills. And thank you, Charlene, for this amazing class.
If you want to learn how to perfect your sales performance, build your bank account, and connect with more of your favorite clients, enter your contact information and we'll show you how to use heartfelt sales to connect with more of the right prospects and significantly increase your income. Go to MaximizeYourWealthNow.com.
And what we're talking about today is all about how to maximize your wealth. Because if you really love, love, love what you do, you can't help but maximize your wealth. So welcome back. And Jim, would you tell us a story, would you mind, about how Spirit has supported you in your business?
Oh, absolutely. It's interesting. It says the idea that sometimes we get really analytical about our lives and goal setting and all the processes involved. And you know, one of the biggest things that helped me is when I was in a quiet place and I was, this is when I had my restaurant years ago. I had a very popular restaurant in Silicon Valley for 18 and a half years. And it was also a cooking school. I loved what I did, but I realized I wasn't really fulfilling my purpose. And I realized it was time to go, but I didn't know where was I going. And I know a lot of people out there probably maybe or have been in a place like that. It says, are you fulfilling what you're meant to do on this earth at this time? And I felt like that was a good beginning, and it taught me a lot about working with people and building teams as well as operating a high level operation that was, you know, we were ranked like 28 out of 30 in Zagat. And I came to the conclusion, I said, what was important to me? And I realized it was having New Year's off with my family. That was it. And I said, wow, that was a beginning of understanding about designing a life. And I talk to my clients all the time about that, because sometimes we get so caught up in following the rules, and we go through school, we go through college, out of college we get a job, and from there our life seems to just take off. And then there's that R word, retirement, and it's like, oh my gosh, did we fulfill our lives? And it comes down to designing your life, the life that you were meant to have, to match the purpose that you've created. And when I realized I was missing out on so many opportunities to be close and loving with my family because I was so busy with a restaurant, it didn't match my purpose. I was very good at it, but that's not a good enough reason to stick with something. So when I realized that I needed to be serious about what my life was all about, and I started to design a life, and I started to outline what are the things that really are exciting to me. And I only got that when I was actually being totally present. And a lot of people, they're so busy running around and doing, they don't have that chance of being. And I really believe the true source speaks to you when you're totally in the now. And when you're in the now, it comes to you. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
It's a great one. It's a great one. And I can totally see what you're talking about, because I am, as you know, I think that I'm a certified financial educator, and I'm really good at it. I am so good at it. But it's not what I love to do, which is why I teach the classes that I do. is because that's when I get excited, is when I see somebody excel and succeed. And I mean, when I do a Friday morning boot camp at 8 a.m. every Friday, and they call in, they tell me what they're in the midst of doing and how much money they've made in that week. And I get so excited because then I know that the process really works and they're really implementing it. And that's what really is a passion for me, is to be able to teach and watch others succeed. That's my thing. It's not sitting and designing a financial plan.
I hear you.
I don't like it. I mean, I'm so good at it, but I don't like it. And it took a long time for me to move away from that because I am good at it. And I still have clients that reach out to me, and I still have my financial clients. But it's not what I really push forward in doing. So I completely know what you're talking about. So if any of you are out there and you're stuck in something and you're really, really good at it, and people tell you all the time how great you are at doing that thing, but it's not what you love to do, just be in the moment and see if you can make a shift to what you love instead of what you need to be in that moment. So we have another caller on the line, Dr. Michael Gross, and he is what I'd call a regular on our show, and he's even been one of my guest experts. Are you there, Dr. Michael?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. It's great to hear your voice, and I know you always have the most wonderful questions, so go ahead.
Yes, Jim, I've heard a lot about you, and I have two questions. Let me address the first one. What does a cooking team building have to do with building teams in an organization?
Good one.
That's a good one. It's funny you should ask that, because sometimes I had to actually address that on my website, CEOChef.com, because when people would ask that question, and they said, there seems to be something about it. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. And when you have people over your home, where, and I'm going to ask you this directly, Dr. Michael, when you have people, guests over your home, people who you care about, where do they end up all huddling around, and where what room in the house becomes the one where it's most crowded?
The kitchen, of course.
It's
we're trying to shoo people out so we can get the food on the table.
And it's like they always come in, they always ask the question, how can I help? Mm-hmm. They really truly want to help. And it's funny, because when my wife and I entertain now, we actually have things ready for them to do, and we end up having, it's almost like a little cooking class in our kitchen. We have a large kitchen, as you can imagine, and I already have things set up. So people walk in, they go, can I help? I go, yeah, here's your glass of wine is ready. There's a cutting board here. Go ahead and chop this. And people love it. And so we learn from that when we realize people just bond over something that's familiar to them. We all eat. Everybody in the world eats. Doesn't mean they all love it, but I'd say 99% of the world people enjoy eating. Well, cooking and food preparation is just an extension of the end product. That's called eating. So we realized, I said, why do something that is not in your wheelhouse? Like, and I, by the way, I have wonderful friends in the area of team building, in the team building or business, and they work with organizations with doing things like ropes courses. And ropes courses, as much as they're challenging for you individually, they lack the team effort to really get the best out of the idea of maximizing your team potential. When people actually are put to the, we have people do these exercises where they do it in a hotel, in a conference room or a ballroom, and they'll have an hour and a half to create a multi-course meal from scratch, and they do it so quickly and efficiently, and the food that they create is good or better than the hotel that they're working at. And these are just These are people who are non-cooking people. The most these people know how to make are reservations. You know, so it's like they are not really culinarians yet. From working together with no recipes, mind you, they're able to create these wonderful foods. So food brings people together. Both food and music are the two things that really overcome cultural diversity and really make people understand you have more in common than not. And food is just one of those fundamental things. So on many, many levels, we're having people connect both on the inner plane and the outer plane. So the unconscious is connecting as we connect them to the conscious level of what they've done. And then to have a finished product, a real product that they actually consume, it's just the ultimate. So when people learn more about each other in a fun, interactive way with a real outcome, my gosh, it says the potential is endless. And then when you throw in at the end how to connect that to their goals, what they want to be as a team in their organization, I mean, you've taken it to a whole new level.
Awesome. That's an awesome answer. Wow. Okay, Dr. Michael, you said you had two questions.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Jim. That really makes it clear. Now, my other question is, how do you typically help someone in a small business become purpose-driven?
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, I can see why you had him on your show. This is a smart dude.
Yes, he is.
Thank you.
Well, let me answer by saying, is that when we start with them understanding their own personal purpose first, that way they can build an organization to reflect that purpose. And I'm going to give you an example. As I mentioned to you that I had a restaurant for many years, I'm going to share with you my purpose. And I'm committed to do what it takes so that I have a lifestyle of liberty that is free of an ordinary existence, to be free to do what I want when I want, and in the process help people through my examples and teachings to have a legacy of love and excellence beyond my years. Now, that's my purpose. When I was in the hospitality business, as much as I loved it, if anybody has ever been in that type of business, restaurant, hotel, it's like 24/7. I was constantly connected to my business to the point where I made lots of money. I had great notoriety. I mean, I got to rub elbows with all the CEOs of Silicon Valley because they wanted to dine at the best place in town, and we were considered the best for many, many years. But I lost a marriage. I have a great son that is in my life, and I'm actually friends with my former wife. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman, but I wasn't fulfilling my purpose. And even my son, I mean, my son is such, I mean, he is so wise. I'm so proud of him, because when he started, he would help me when we were doing a lot of these cooking team building. He loved it. And he would one of my best helpers. And one of the things he said, we were sitting there quietly, and he looked at me and he goes, "You know, Dad, you wouldn't be doing this if you were still married to Mom." And I'm going, wow. I mean, what kid has the wisdom to see that? And it says, as much as I loved his mom, it says, I couldn't be even with her because I wasn't following my true path. I'm an entrepreneur by nature. Her number one core desire is security. So I couldn't be who I wanted to be if I was still in the restaurant business, unless I organized it in a complete different way. But the way it was organized for the many years I was there, I was trapped there. I didn't have the freedom to do what I wanted when I wanted to. It wasn't in my wheelhouse at the time. So that's why it's so important to begin your business should follow your personal purpose first. So you're building an organization that's going to reflect who you are. Therefore, you can be who you are while growing a business and make sure that it continues that way. Does that help you, Dr. Michael?
He must have hung up, I guess. And he was probably listening. all the lines are full, and I think that's why. So let's take Patrick from California. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Jim. I don't know if you remember me, but several years ago I saw you speak in California, in Los Angeles, and you were amazing. So here's my question. My question is, if for somebody like me that's not a very good cooker, doesn't like to cook, what advice can you give me for somebody new to desiring to eat more at home?
Oh, I love that question, Patrick. Good one.
Patrick, find yourself a girlfriend who likes to cook. I think that's the first step. Well, it's interesting is that it just so happens I'm a trained chef. My wife is a trained chef. And it's funny, it's just because it's like we don't do that professionally anymore. But one of the joys that we get is coming into the kitchen. Like, we put a full day in, we work with clients, we work with businesses, and at the end of the day, we like to just connect, and we connect by being in the kitchen together. So I would suggest, Patrick, is find somebody who likes to play in the kitchen. It's like so much fun, and it's not about so many people, they're always in a hurry. And they're in a hurry to go do something and do something. I said, just be with the person you love and just, you know, go to the market together. We love going to the farmer's market. We get to meet wonderful people. We get the food. We bring it home. And, we just plan a meal around that. And our meals may take a little longer than the average person's. But you know what? It says, this is an opportunity. You know, putting a meal together is an opportunity to connect with the people you love. And if that's not team building on the most basic level, I don't know what is. In fact, we call that team the home team. And the home team trumps any business team or corporate team or organizational team, because that one controls all teams. And when you have an opportunity to find a person, even if they don't know how to cook, just learn along with them. Yeah, in fact, that's sometimes more fun. It says, do the things that you know you can do and then add to it. And every time you add a new distinction to what you do, you're doing it with that person. And you're actually connecting them at a visceral level. So you're not just a sex toy. You're not just a conversation piece. You're now more than that. And just to cook together in the kitchen it's so fun. And if you make it that way, I hope that answers your question, Patrick.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking? I have to find a man who can cook in the kitchen. That's what I need.
Well, you know, just so who's open to the possibilities, and you can guide them along the way. Men will do anything if it pleases you, and knowing who you are, so you're probably a phenomenal cook already. Now it's about letting them be a part of it. And it's like, you know what? I dare say it's like, it's actually what I call the new day of foreplay. It's like,
you gotta write that one down, Jim. The new day of
in the kitchen, and then it expands. I mean, and my wife, of course, the relationship coach, she actually has something called Date Night In, and she actually has to make a meal where everything is done without any utensils, so you're feeding each other. I mean, how erotic is that? I mean, to start off.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so if there's any listeners out there, I'm ready to have somebody feed me, and I look forward to doing that with them. And with that, we'll be right back in just 1 minute, I promise.
professional authors, coaches, and small business owners. What if you could increase your sales authentically without scripts or the pain of rejection? If you are a realtor, you can make more sales without the fear of being salesy. If you are an entrepreneur, you can eliminate the fear of feeling pushy, get more referrals, and add more money to your bank account with less effort. Welcome to Compel Don't Sell, the Art of Selling with Heart, the next generation in relationship sales, brought to you by Maximize Your Wealth Now.
The reason that I took this course is because I needed to know how to market and sell in a way that doesn't make me feel bad. Compel Don't Sell totally comes from the heart and connects with people in a way that fits my style and how I would like to approach people. And it gave me the benefit of refining what I think and say about my business in a way that's professional, but still very warm and nurturing.
I invested in Shirlene's Compelled to Sell sales training program, and I just knew immediately that she was the person that I wanted to work with.
The reason I took this course is because I felt like there were a lot of new things that Shirlene had to offer that I had not experienced before. That's why I chose the class, because I wanted to sort of up-level my sales skills. And thank you, Shirlene, for this amazing class.
If you want to learn how to perfect your sales performance, build your bank account, and connect with more of your favorite clients, enter your contact information, and we'll show you how to use heartfelt sales to connect with more of the right prospects and significantly increase your income. Go to MaximizeYourWealthNow.com.
So welcome back, everyone, and we have had Ian on the line waiting to ask his question, and he's just burning questions. So, Ian, you are up. What is your question for today? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. First of all, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm interested in knowing what the difference is between leadership development and team building.
I like that question.
Thank you, Ian. That is a great question, and I can't tell you how many times I've seen it being used as separate entities, but they're actually really one and the same. Because within team building, you're developing leaders simultaneously, and leadership is a state of being. It's not a title in front of someone's name. People get confused all the time with them having a title that they're showing a state of leadership, and sadly saying a lot of organizations lack the capacity to understand that when you're building teams, you're building leaders at the same time. And just to use an example, it says when I did have my restaurant years ago, we always would build someone up, and it's a saying that we came up with. And I would tell the people, like the dishwasher, I'd say, do you want to wash dishes forever? And they said no. I said, how'd you like to live on the other side, which is the cooking part? And they go, yeah. And I said, watch it, every time you have a chance, go see what it's like to make salads. And then the salad person, watch the person who makes souffles. And the souffle person, watch the person. And you can see how you're always looking the next level. I would tell my chef, I'd say, look, you want my job. They go, but you own the place. I said, that's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to think like an owner. I don't want you to think like a chef. And I don't want your sous chef to think like a sous chef. I want your sous chef to think the next level. That's leadership. And that's how you build a team, because now they can see something greater than themselves. And there you go.
Wow, that's awesome. You know, and you just gave your final thoughts, I'll tell you right now, because always be looking to the next level. Always be looking to the next level. And that's what I did too when I wanted to go out and do all my public speaking with my book. I looked for somebody on the next level. Find a mentor that can get you there. Now, exactly. Jim, talk to us about what you have for our listeners, because I know you have something very special and we have almost no time left. So please tell them.
I'll get to it quickly. Talk about finding a mentor. I would love to offer you a 30-minute. Now, it says 20-minute, but I'll give anybody who's a caller 30-minute free bonus results coaching call, a session with me live. You go to my website, CEOChefConsulting.com. That's CEO, like the head of a company, and chef, like a person who cooks, consulting.com. And just click on it. It's actually a scheduling app that you just click on it, schedule for free. Boom. You get into my schedule. You schedule a time. And next thing you know, we're talking. And that's all I got for you. And if we talk and you mention that you are a part of the show, you heard us from the show, I'll give you a copy, a PDF copy of our Creating Leaders to Build Teams, Aligning Your Purpose Towards a Winning Work Culture action guide. So we actually begin creating your own life that you desire.
That sounds phenomenal. An action guide. So people, take him up on this. You know, so many people offer a free 40 minutes, and these are very high-end coaches that I have on this show. And if you don't take responsibility for yourself and utilize that free 40 minutes, it may be the gift of your whole career. So think about it. Give us the way to reach you again. Jim?
That is CEOChefConsulting.com.
Awesome. CEOChefConsulting.com. And take him up on his free 40 minutes. What can it hurt? And don't ever miss anything that is given to you for a free 40 minutes. It may change your life. So, Jim, I want to thank you for being with me today and all of our guests. And I also want to share with you that we are going to have a heartfelt branding person on next. So I really look forward to next Thursday at 2 p.m. See you then. By the sea, over and out. I'm going to go take a swim.
Thank you for joining us on the Ascended Masters at Work show with spiritual life coach, Reverend Shirlene Reeves. We hope you found our message enlightening in a way that will change your everyday interactions in work and play. Share the love. Pass on our web address, ascendedmastersatwork.com. And if you have a great story to share, we'd love to have you on the show. This has been a Massive Visibility Media production. Join us next week for the Ascended Masters at Work show. And while remembering the words of the late Wayne Dyer, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. We say namaste.